Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Birmingham, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'd like for you to stay tuned because it could be, in fact, it very well may be, the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Our show is about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we will do it without any manipulating. That means we don't have any hidden agendas. We have nothing to sell. We're not requesting anything. We're simply here to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. This is not a denominational show. This is not a Baptist. This is not a Methodist. This is not a Catholic. This is not Church of Christ. This is not Lutheran. This is not Presbyterian. This is me. I'm talking to you about the Word of God. I'm Rick Hughes, the host. I'm the president of Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. I'm a homegrown boy. I'm here from the city of Birmingham. I grew up here. I went to Woodlawn High School. Attended the University of Alabama on a football scholarship very briefly. But I'm from here. And these things that I'm teaching to you are things that I've learned in my life during the last 38 years as an evangelist, traveling around, speaking to students, speaking to churches, speaking to businesses all across the southeastern United States. During the last 38 years, I've had the privilege to conduct more than 6,000 or 7,000 high school assemblies. That's right, 6,000 or 7,000 high school assemblies. And guess what? Never charge a dime for any of them. Never charge a dime. I talk to a lot of people that have speakers come to their schools, and I say, what does it cost? Well, it costs $5,000. Get this guy. $5,000. Get this guy. What do you charge? Nothing. And they just kind of look at me and say, are you kidding? You must not be very good. You don't charge anything. That's right. Because I believe if God's in it, he pays for it. Yeah, I'm probably not very good because I don't have anything to say but the Bible. I'm not there to give a motivation speech. I'm not there to pump people up and rah, 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 rah. I'm there to give them what the Bible says. And so I tell kids right up front, I'm not here to change you. I'm here to give you information. And what you do with the information is between you and God. And if you want to take it and apply it into your life, then good for you. And if you want to belch it up in the parking lot, that's your decision, your choice. God is a gentleman. He will not manipulate you. He will not coerce you. He will give you the freedom to reject it or receive it. And as I talk to you on this radio show, I feel much the same way. I've given you a lot of information. This is close to 50 weeks worth of information that I've given you over this radio show. What have you done with it? Have you believed it? Have you applied it into your life? Have you lived by that information? You know, it's very interesting. I don't have any illusions about who I am or what I'm doing. It's just a simple radio show. I just come up here and record it and pay for the spots and run the spots on Sunday morning. That's all it is. And I teach the Word of God. And I know a lot of the people that listen. I know you by name. And some people that listen, I don't know. I'm sure some people tune in and just keep moving right on down the radio dial to the next show because they're looking for some music, some entertainment. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are looking for the same thing. They don't want to be educated. They want to be entertained. And so they go to church to get the joy, 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 thump, thump, thump down in their heart, so to say. And they're not interested in any long-winded preacher teaching a lot of information that they don't understand. Well, that's not what I'm about. I'm sorry. But I am about the accurate communication of the Word of God, so that you at least know your choices and your options, so that you can verify and identify God's plan for your life, and so that you can orient and adjust. And if you crash and burn, at least you will know why. You won't have to be questioning and saying, did I run out of fuel? Did I run out of fuel? Yeah, you ran out of fuel, so you crashed and burned. The United States of America is about to run out of fuel. We're about to crash and burn. I started a series last week on what a client nation is. I started a series last week on the pivot and those people that sustain the client nation. And I told you that they are people who take their spiritual life seriously. I talked to you about the virtue-related values of an individual within that client nation. And I told you that the greatness of a nation can only be measured by the virtue of its people and the integrity of its government. Virtue-related values for the believer are spiritual values. Momentum, virtue, and poise. You know what virtue is? Virtue is a shield. That's what it is. Virtue is a shield. You know, people can take a lot of things away from you, but they cannot take your virtue away. You have to surrender it. A man with virtue, an old Latin proverb says, is like a man with 1,000 shields. Virtue is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And the believer in Jesus Christ develops virtue from the Word of God. It's the integrity that he lives his life by. It is this man of integrity. It is this man of virtue. It is this man of honor that sustains a client nation. Because he places his spiritual life priority number one over everything else. He doesn't go to church just to play games. He's not there for the ritual with no reality to it. He's there to grow and study. He finds a qualified pastor that he can listen to. Maybe he's heard a lot of different pastors and none of them make sense. Maybe he has enough common sense to know garbage when he hears it. Maybe he's got enough common sense to see when he's being manipulated. Maybe he's got enough common sense to say, I've been going here now and I haven't learned anything. All I've been doing is getting a lot of singing and a lot of hand waving and a lot of praising, but I'm not learning anything. Why do you go? The whole reason of assembling yourself together is to learn something that you can use in your life as a Christian when you walk out of there today. If you just learn one thing, what did you learn? Because the reason you got to learn is you're going to be tested. God's going to test you. He's going to test your heart, the intentionality and the mentality of your soul. God's going to test you as the Apostle Paul was tested. We talked about it a few weeks ago. One of the ways that we're tested as believers is, are we going to help sustain our nation as a part of the pivot, or will we be part of the problem? Are you going to place priority number one on your spiritual life, or are you going to get sucked into the cosmic vortex? Are you going to spin off as a believer out of fellowship, in reversionism, or backslidden, as some people say? Yeah, you were saved. Yeah, you used to give God priority number one in your life, but you got wealthy, you made a lot of money, you got a lot of success, you're healthy, you're happy, and you really don't need God right now, do you? Well, you're wrong. The reason you better pay attention is because everything you hold dear and precious and valuable is in the verge of being lost. Because as a client nation to God, unto whom much is given, much is expected. What, do you think you're going to buy God off by putting in your little 10% in the offering plate this month? You think God is appeased because you contributed $400 or $500 this month? You better think again. You can give money to your blue in the face, and it will not be honored or blessed nor accepted by God if you don't give it in the right way. So you have to understand something. God is much more concerned about your spiritual life than he is your money. God is much more concerned about the thought and the content of your heart than he is in how big a church building you build. He's not interested in your style. He's interested in the content of your heart. Because this is where the winner believers come from. Men and women that place priority number one on learning the Word of God and applying the Word of God. Men and women who become pivot members of a client nation. Not a priest nation. That was Israel. We're a client nation. A client nation has the responsibility to preserve and communicate the Word of God, to be a haven for the Jew, to send out missionaries to the world. And that's what we are. God directs and controls all the historical activities on the basis of client nations. You see, here's what a client nation has to do. The United States of America is, in fact, a client nation for God, and we are, in fact, in danger of losing our client nation status. But a client nation has to, number one, evangelize its own population at home. Number two, it must communicate the Word of God to believers across the nation. Number three, it is responsible for the custodianship of the Word of God. Number four, it is a haven for the Jew. And number five, a client nation is responsible to send out missionaries to evangelize other nations. Now, you don't see any missionaries going out of Russia, do you? You don't see any missionaries going out of China, do you? It is the United States of America that sends out Christian missionaries to evangelize the world. The only missionaries the Muslim extremists send out are the terrorists. I wouldn't exactly call that a missionary. So, I mean, come on. We live in the greatest nation in the world. We have been blessed more than any nation's ever been blessed before us. You have the most wonderful lifestyle, and everything you hold dear and near to you, you are in danger of losing. Unless you wake up and you start to take your spiritual life seriously. Because if you do not take your spiritual life seriously, the same thing that happened to priest nation Israel will happen to you. God doesn't change. He always works the same way. They were taken out in 70 AD by the Roman Emperor Titus, and Israel has not been a priest nation for God again. Yes, they're back today. Yes, in the land. Some are back. Yes, under the Zionist concept of reclaiming the land. But this is not the return that Jesus talked about. Jesus talked about when he comes back that he's going to go back into the land and set up his kingdom, and then all the Jews will come back. This is not what's happening right now. There is a battle for the land, yes, but it's not the return of Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom. So come on. We are still a client nation for God, not Israel. We are. We are protecting Israel today. We're watching out over Israel today. And I'll tell you, I've never seen so much anti-Semitism in all my life. People hate the Jews and think the Jews are the reason for our problems. Not the reason for our problems. We are the problem. It's us, our own spiritual life. It's not who we got. The president's not the problem. If George Bush is the problem, or who is the problem? Was Bill Clinton the problem? Was the older Bush the problem? Was Ronald Reagan the problem? Is the next president going to be the problem? The problem is you. And me. Because that's why the Bible says, cursed is man that trusteth in man. So I told you last week that apostasy within a client nation is always like a cancer. It's always like a cancer. And that apostasy, when it happens in a client nation, comes from politicians, preachers, and the normal run-of-the-mill people. Listen to what Ezekiel 13 says about apostasy within the land, dealing with the priest nation, Israel. When they were destroyed, listen, it is definitely because they have misled my people when they said peace, and there is no peace. And now when anyone builds a wall, and that's the political lies of the politicians, behold, they cover it with whitewash. That's the false solutions to the problems of a client nation. So you tell those who plaster it over with a whitewash that it's going to fall, God said. A flooding rain will come on you, and old hailstones will fall, and a violent wind, that's divine discipline on the nation, will break out. And the wall, when it is fallen, will you not be asked, where is your plaster with which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will cause a violent wind to break out of my wrath. There will also be in my anger a flooding rain and a hailstone to consume it in wrath. And I will tear down this wall of political lies that you plastered over with whitewash, and I'll bring it to the ground so that its foundation is laid bare, and furthermore, when it falls, I'm reading from Ezekiel 13, verses 10 through 16. Back to the passage. When it falls, you will be destroyed with it. And then you will know I am the Lord. And therefore I will spend my wrath against the wall and against those who plastered it with whitewash. And then I will say to you, your wall is gone along with the plaster, along with the prophets who prophesied to Jerusalem and saw their visions of peace for her where there was no peace, says God. Now what does all this stuff mean? It means this. Number one, that the good decisions of a national leadership result in greater options for greater decisions. But bad decisions destroy freedom options and enslave a nation. So that the client nation is destroyed from within. And the first crack in a client nation is the destruction of the spiritual life or the spiritual values. And the thing that has been shutting down in America for the last 30 years is any mention of God. Any spiritual truth or spiritual heritage has been rejected from the public agenda and replaced with the agenda of who knows what? Politicians? Special interest groups? Minorities? their agenda, not God's agenda. Mankind always has been and always will be the product of their own volition, not their environment. To the extent that you blame your environment for your own failures is part of the arrogant skills. You can't say to God, well, the reason I'm such a loser is I grew up in the poor part of town. That is not true. The reason you're a loser is because you rejected the privilege to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you rejected the opportunity to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You rejected any spiritual solution, and you looked to some politician to feed you and provide for you and guarantee your security and your peace, and you put that in front of everything else, and you lost everything. And we're about to lose it all because of this very thing. You see, the doctrine of man's sin nature and the total depravity of sin plus the function of Satan requires that people in a client nation periodically are going to have to make a lot of sacrifices for freedom. And that means periodically you got to face a war and have a war because people are going to destroy us. People are going to be jealous of us. People are not going to like us. And the only thing those people are going to understand is death. So the only way you win wars is by killing the enemy. God ordains it. It's not a sin to kill the enemy in battle. We didn't start any war. But when someone attacks us, we retaliate, and we retaliate with everything that we've got, and we kill enough of them until finally somebody signs the peace treaty, and they leave us alone, and we'll go about our merry way. That's the only thing the enemy understands. Because political solutions are useless unless there's some spiritual solutions. Political solutions are temporary, but spiritual solutions are eternal. Political solutions relate to the power of man. Political solutions are often erroneous and destructive to a nation. Political solutions are mortal, not spiritual. Political solutions grope in the darkness of spiritual death, but spiritual solutions, the solutions from the Word of God, well, they don't include violence. They don't include coercion, but a change in the soul through the Word of God. One of the reasons we send out missionaries is so we don't have to fight enemies, so we can win people to Christ, so there can be a change in the attitude of the individual. But sometimes it's the reverse. One of the problems that's in America today is we need a few home missionaries. We need to reach our own people. We're having our own wars in our own streets, in our own cities. So, the United States of America is in big trouble. People become self-righteous and arrogant. They turn their back on God. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 7 has a lot to say about this. It's an interesting passage of Scripture, and it's been taught many, many times by a lot of different preachers, I assure you. And I'm not going to give you any great new revelation, except I might like to make a few statements about a few things involved in this passage. Listen to this. Here's chapter 4, verse 1 of Hosea. Listen to the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Now, I know this was written to Israel. But there is an application to us as well, even though the interpretation is not directly to us. What was the controversy that God had? What was the problem with the priest nation? Why was God about to shut it down and replace it? Because there's no truth, no mercy, and no knowledge of God in the land. I just read it to you. No truth, no mercy, and no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Now I'm going to just drop down and listen to verse 6. My people, that's the priest nation, or in our effect, the client nation, good old U.S. of A., the client nation of God, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I will reject you, and you will no longer be priests for me. And since you forgot the laws of your God, I will forget your children. Uh-oh. Does that scare you a little bit? You see, what is the problem? Lack of knowledge. Now, let me show you how subtle this is. I've taught this before. You've got to listen to this. lack of knowledge, since you've rejected me. Reject is the word ma'as, M-A-A-S in the Hebrew. Ma'as, and it means the cease flowing, that it's dried up. It's like a creek that's no longer got any water in it. It's dried up. It's wet when it's raining, but it's not raining now. It hadn't been raining a long time, and the creek's dried up. See, this is exactly what happens. Sometimes you can be out on the lake, and you can be boat riding in the afternoon, and you can hear thunder, you can see lightning, you can smell the rain, you can feel the wind blowing in your face, but it doesn't rain. It goes around you. You never get wet. Oh, you can see it. It's raining on the other side of the lake. It's raining over in the other county. It's raining down in that city, but not where you are. See, many churches are just like this. Oh, it thunders. Oh, yeah, buddy. It'll thunder, and there'll be a lot of lightning, and there'll be a lot of wind, but it never rains. The Word of God is never taught. Nobody ever learns anything. It's just the joy, joy, thump, thump, praise, praise, worship, worship sort of stuff, and nobody's learning anything. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I could give you a test right now. I could ask you, just tell me the names of the brothers of Jesus. You say you love Jesus, you worship Jesus. Tell me the names of his brothers. Tell me the city that he was born in. Tell me where he died. Sometimes people say, oh, I love Jesus. They don't even know anything about him. They don't even know anything about him. They don't know anything about the mechanics of the Word of God, and they use cliches to describe the Christian life, like, well, just yield it all to God, brother, and turn it over to Jesus, brother. Well, what the heck does that mean? Is there a process to this madness? Does that really mean something? Let God have it all. See, there is a definite mechanics to living the Christian life. It's called the protocol plan of God. And when you don't function in the protocol plan of God, you wind up doing the right thing, but you wind up doing it the wrong way. And we got so many churches on so many street corners and so many people doing the right thing, but I firmly believe most of them are doing it the wrong way. And I do not believe it honors and glorifies God. When his word is not taught and lifted up, his people don't learn anything. That's why the Bible in 2 Peter 3:18 says, study to show thyself approved. To grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Hebrews 5:11 says you've been saved a long time now and you ought to be teaching others. But instead you've gone back. You need to be taught the basics again. You see, people that are born-again Christians never grew up. They never took their spiritual life seriously. You grow up physically. You eat food. You used to be 10. Now you're 20. Now you're 30. Now you're 40. You're growing up. But in the spiritual life, they never got out of the first grade. They never got fed food that nurtured them. They never learned to execute the protocol plan of God. And they still went to church, and they still played the game, and on Sunday morning they showed up in their suits, but they never glorified God. And the preachers preached lies and said peace when there is no peace. Well, a client nation is destroyed because of the lack of the Word of God. When you reject the Word of God, it leads to destruction of your nation. And everything you own, everything you have, everything you hold dear to you depends on your attitude towards the Word of God. And to the extent that you neglect it, you are guaranteeing you're going to lose everything. I'll show you how simple it is. The Bible says, don't marry an unbeliever. If you're a believer, don't marry an unbeliever. The Bible says that. Who did you marry? An unbeliever. I don't care what God said. I loved him. He loved me. And we loved each other, so that's all that matters. Okay. Just proving the point. What does the Bible say about a lot of things that you justify are okay in your life because you don't see anything wrong with it? What's the number one priority in your life? Me. Happiness. What I want. Well, what about what God wants? Not interested. It conflicts with your agenda. You don't have time to learn about God. You don't have time to get involved in a church where the Word of God is taught and honored. That's not on your agenda, is it? You're afraid they're going to dun you for a little money. I know. Listen, Jesus Christ, our Lord, controls history. He knows where the positive volition exists in every generation. Are you one of those people that's positive to the Word of God? Do you have a hunger and an intense desire to learn the Word of God? The only thing that'll make sure this current client nation USA stays a client nation USA is when we have a pivot of mature believers that love the Word of God more than anything else. And the thing that destroyed the Jewish client nation was the ignorance of the Word of God. When they would not listen to what God said, they rejected what God said. So the pivot in a client nation is the remnant of mature believers, believers just like you that have reached the maximum adjustment to the justice of God. You have learned the Word of God. You've deployed it into your soul. You're living by the principles and the procedures in the Word of God. You have virtue-related values in your life that starts with your personal love for God. You are part of the pivot, and it is the pivot that delivers the nation. When the pivot shrinks, when the pivot gets too small, when there is no longer the pivotential presence of God, when the pivot of God shrinks up until there's just a few, then historical disaster begins to happen. Why? Warning discipline. God beginning to warn us that we're in trouble. God warning us that we've focused on the gifts and forgotten the giver. God warning us that we have pushed Jesus Christ out of the public agenda. God warning us that we put our trust in politicians rather than in Him. God warning our nation that we're in serious trouble and we're about to benefit all the blessings of God because we are so arrogant. When judgment falls on a nation, whoever's in that pivot is going to be secure because God will protect them. He'll take them through the judgment. But the spinoff, the people that are negative, the people that have rejected God, they'll be destroyed in the judgment. Will America continue to exist for another 50 years? I don't think so if we continue to go as we're going. There's no way we can. We are in serious trouble because the majority of free Americans today are not interested in spiritual things. They are only interested in their retirement account. They're only interested on what's on television next week. They're only interested on where we're going to go this weekend. They don't read their Bible during the week. They do very little praying. And they certainly never listen to the Word of God taught, except maybe on Sunday morning. They're full of human viewpoint solutions. They're bitter. They're jealous. They're vindictive. They're implacable. They're patronizing. They're fragmented. They're polarized. We have a nation that is in serious trouble. What is going to happen? Well, this is very simple. God's not going to tolerate it much longer. The United States of America is a client nation, and it reflects the value of our Constitution, the purpose that our Constitution was signed. All of it's reflected in the Constitution. It limits the government's authority. We still have all these ingredients that were set forth in our Constitution, but things are getting worse. A lot worse. We have some mature believers, but the spinoff from that into the other side is getting larger. A lot of negative people, negative to the Word of God. Oh, they're saved. This is the problem. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm not talking about people that are not Christians. I'm talking about you. You have turned your back on God. You have lost your first love, the Bible says. You are the problem. And so there's a lot of lip service to God, but not much devotedness, not much personal love. See, the Bible says, if you love me, obey me. Bible doctrine is rarely taught or properly or accurately taught, and the reversionism of nation has destroyed our function. We are in trouble, and you are the solution. What are you going to do about it? Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening. The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama 35054, or on the internet at bigrick.org. Join us next week for another edition of The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes, on 960 WERC.